Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome in to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Boy, it seems like we just went off the air, Dan Buck.
Man,
and here
man.
We are, back again.
Dude, I had a baseball game till like 11 o'clock last night.
Did you really?
Well, my game got over like at 9, I don't know, 9:30, but I rode with a guy.
Oh.
And so I had to wait for his game, and of course it goes long, and I'm beat, brother. I mean,
you get used to driving yourself when you had to cut out of things early.
I know. It was like a long drive, and normally both games would have gone fast, but this one just drug out, and I'm sitting there going, I can't believe I'm still at the ballpark. I'm going to be up in 4 hours.
Yeah, trust me. Next Monday night, when we're at the Laura Trump Missouri Right to Life event, which I'm looking forward to. Still tickets available for that, by the way, if you go to the Missouri Right to Life website. Laura Trump is speaking out there. Just like last year, I think they had Mike Pompeo spoke the last time I went to this. Might have been 2 years ago, but I believe it was last year. And my wife, my daughter went with me, and I drove separately because as soon as the keynote speaker was done, I excused myself to go to the bathroom and never came back. I'm going home to go to bed because I got to get up tomorrow morning. I'm a slave to that schedule.
Yeah, I know it starts at 6. Do you think that she won't get on to like 7:30 or 8 or so? Because I may have to get there a little later.
I would
later.
Guess okay. that she'll, yeah.
I have umpire duties. So
okay.
I just checked the calendar and I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. I got a scheduled game, but I'm kind of near there. So
they get up and speak for a few minutes, and they introduce the keynote speaker. They get to it pretty quickly.
And after dinner, right? It's after dinner, the actual
correct.
Speaker.
Okay. That is correct.
So I should have time to get there.
I think you'll be just fine. That's coming up, though, by the way. And also our live broadcast, you can join us next week on 9/11. We are going to take the show live down to beautiful downtown Eureka. We are praying for this continued fall-like weather. For the broadcast, so that it hopefully by next Thursday. I haven't looked at the extended forecast.
It looks great, man.
But I don't think it's climbing back up in the 90s.
No, it's like false fall is what Murray was saying. But I'm like, yeah. I think this might stick around.
Don't believe it, Dan Buck. do not fall for that.
Come on,
that
man.
Trap.
Be positive.
I do not think that's going to happen. So we will be down there live from 5 a.m. until 9. Anytime in that window, you can swing by and see us. And the important thing, and the real reason we're there, not just to draw attention to, obviously, 9/11, the victims that were killed, and the families that were affected that day on 9/11, but also for the Focus Marine Foundation. Now, it says the word Marine in it, but they focus on all service members who have come back to this country after serving their country and had trouble for whatever reason blending back into civilian jobs. And they take these folks and they take them by the hand and they wrap their arms around them and they spend time with them and develop friendships and relationships, and it truly is amazing work. And none of them get paid for doing it. And anything we can do to help them, we're going to do that. So during the course of the show, we'll be giving you ways you can make donations, monetary, or try to volunteer your time if need be, with Focus Marines, so they can continue doing what they do. We love what those folks do. Believe me on that one. All right. So lots to get to again for you today. You know, I found out something yesterday I did not know, that this deal on IP reform, Governor Kehoe, apparently, Dan, said that he would call a special session on this if he had some proof that the two sides had a plan. In other words, if he thought it had a chance of getting passed, if they could reach some sort of a framework that could get through the House and the Senate, he would call the special session. Well, he did. So obviously he had to get to that framework somehow. And it ends up that our friend Senator Adam Schnelting was the architect of this. So he was the one who kind of went back and forth between the Speaker of the House and the Senate leadership. With Cindy O'Loughlin and kind of worked out a framework of what IP reform should look like. So we're going to get him live today on the air in the 8 o'clock hour so he can tell us a little bit more about how that went.
That's great. That's awesome.
I don't know what took so long. I mean, that's not Adam's fault.
You made the point. This should have happened two, three years ago. Easily. Way before Amendment 3 passed, way before a lot of these changes have happened, that people can just petition, get enough signatures, and get something on a ballot. It's insane.
Well, it's just more example of how you can't let... Special interests from outside of the country, outside of the state, come in and just buy things into the Constitution. We are a target.
Yeah,
it's well known around the country. There are a handful of states that still operate like this. We need to take Missouri off that list. Let them go waste their millions of dollars somewhere else trying to change the way things are going down there. So we'll get to Adam in the 8 o'clock hour. Jimmy Failla is joining us today.
Nice!
That guy is hilarious. He's quick. He's smart. He's actually coming to town in January, and we're going to be partnering up with him. That's not what our interview is about today, but we'll talk to him about that because we're looking forward to seeing him. I don't know if he's ever been here, but he will be here in January at the factory, and we're going to be planning an event surrounding that with Jimmy Failla. So stay tuned for more details on that. We'll chat with him this morning in the 7 o'clock hour, and it looks like we may be headed for a government shutdown.
No.
If the government shuts down in a forest and nobody's around to see it, does anybody notice? That's always been my question. But we're going to check in with Ryan Schmelz next hour as well because he's been monitoring all of the developments and Hakeem Jeffries is itching for a fight on this. And the question is, can Mike Johnson outsmart him? I think outsmarting Hakeem Jeffries would not be that difficult. But he doesn't have many votes to play with, and this Thomas Massie is a real pain in the ass. So that's going to be a problem, I think. We'll see. Well, we'll see what's going on with that. Massie, there are days I like the guy, and there are days he absolutely drives me crazy. And I think he's on his way out of the house, We'll see how that goes. We'll check in with Ryan next hour. How about that? I promise you. All right. Right now, Ethan, let's go ahead and get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I will say this. The last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying.
You know, we've reached new political depths in this country when the governor of a major state begs for the death of a president. That is what that lowlife, Tim Walz, out of Minnesota, did yesterday. And you heard the laughter in the audience from his sycophants, wishing he had awakened to news that his chief opponent in politics, Donald Trump, was dead. It's just sickening.
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when. We're going in. When you lose, look, I have an obligation. This isn't a political thing. I have an obligation.
What are they afraid of? I keep asking that question. What is J.B. Pritzker afraid of? What's he afraid of?
It's unbelievable.
He's afraid that it's going to work, and then it lays bare all of their evil wrongdoing in the city of Chicago, allowing 600 mostly black people to be slaughtered every year. They don't care.
We know before anything has happened here that the Trump plan is to use any excuse to deploy armed military personnel to Chicago.
Yeah, Trump really wants to rule Chicago. That's why he ran for governor there or mayor. No, he wants to help the people. And he's going to give you a blueprint on how to do it, JB. Leave the buffet and pay attention.
All right, I don't know why that one's not playing right. Let's go with a different one, Mark.
It was going in a circle. No, that's fine. That is the Illinois Lieutenant Governor.
That's how she talks anyway.
That is the Illinois Lieutenant Circles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling illegals how to evade the law.
Unbelievable.
That's where we are in this country. The Lieutenant Governor of the state of Illinois.
The top law official that's supposed to enforce the law in your state is telling illegals how to avoid. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, you did. And she's calling them, and again, she's calling them migrants, immigrants. They're illegal aliens. Call them what they are.
I call them invaders.
Well, they
invaded our country.
There's a process, and I say it all the time, Dan. We're the most generous country in the world
with our
immigration policies. Nobody in the world allows a million people a year to legally immigrate into their country. We do.
Do it right.
But if you jump the line, just like down at Six Flags, I'm going to punch you in the nose. I'm not going to stand in line for 2 hours at Disney to have you jump in line at the last second and get in front of me. Not happening. The park would kick you out for doing that. But not here. Not these Democrats. Oh, you're a legal migrant. We're going to let you go ahead and go because we feel bad for you. Please go ahead and get in line in front of these people that have been waiting for hours. It's infuriating, is what it is.
And to come from the top lawmaker of Illinois, that's mind blowing to me.
From the lieutenant governor's office in the state, it's sickening, is what it is. They were doing it on the border last year out there. All right, Ethan is telling me that I have gone over again in this segment. Not sure how that happens every single.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Single day, Ethan, I'm sorry.
Get up in the morning and you doom scroll through things. And although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying. There will be news sometime. Just so you know, there will be news.
But I'll tell you who is a complete piece of I'm going to tell you right now.
There have been a lot of swear words at
this
table today.
Tim Walz, okay? the governor of Minnesota, holding up a phone in front of a rally saying, well, we thought we were going to wake up and find out the president had died. Someday it'll happen. I used to say he was the biggest buffoon in American politics, but it's worse now. No political official, no elected official should be walking around saying, well, I'm hoping we wake up one day and the president of the United States has died. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Absolutely. You go, Scott Jennings. Dropping the S-bomb there on CNN last night. Somebody needs to. Why is that okay in light of the fact that this man nearly lost his head in a shooting just over a year ago, a second attempted shooting? That guy was in court this week already, this Ryan Ruth guy. And he goes on a stage at the Minneapolis State Fair, wherever he was, and jokes about wishing the president was dead and just wait, it won't be long. Can you imagine? Now, on every policy, I disagreed with Joe Biden. Would I have ever considered going on this broadcast and openly wishing for Joe Biden to die? No. That is carrying it too far. I don't understand why it's okay for the left. They hate Donald Trump so much because he owns them in every way possible that the only way they see out of their dilemma is for Donald Trump to die. That's what they're waiting for now. They don't know any other way to defeat him except to wait for him to die. Am I reading that wrong?
Not at all.
There's nothing funny about joking about the death of a president, given the fact that because of their rhetoric, he came close to dying twice. Now, only once was a bullet fired, but the other guy was waiting for him in the fence along his golf course with a high-powered rifle.
Yeah, and he's now in trial defending himself. I mean, not mentally right, but the point is that you don't promote it. You don't sit there in any situation, let alone in front of a public audience, and make light of it and joke about it and say, hey, but someday we'll, hopefully we'll get that. I'm like, what? Coming from a governor of a state? What have we come to? It's just ridiculous.
It's that's really what it's come down to. They, the left, his political enemies, hate him so bad, they don't know any other way to defeat him except to wait until he has died.
Because they don't have an original idea in their brain. No.
They don't have an original idea on how to fix it. I've got a great bite on that. I'm gonna play that for you a little later. But it's pretty sad. Tim Walz is a joke, and I've got a friend that lives. I'll still refer to him as a friend. He came to my wedding, so I worked with him as a TV producer years ago. Lives in Minneapolis. And he's part of the hard left in Minneapolis. We ended up at some event a couple of weeks ago where Tim Walz was there and got a selfie with him and went on some big long dialogue on his Facebook page about how what a shame this man is not the vice president of the United States and
God,
how much
not.
Better the world would be if Kamala Harris had gotten elected. And I'm like, Robert, seriously, no one, absolutely no one outside of the state of Minneapolis believes the world would be better off if Tim Walz held a position of power in the United States government.
Did he win Minnesota kind of like Pritzker wins Illinois, like where he loses 90% of geographical area and just dominated in Minneapolis, St. Paul? If I'm a Minnesotan and that's what's representing me, wouldn't you just be flat out embarrassed to even say you're from that state?
I would, and there have to be some common sense people up there. But that state's been blue for so long. I mean, remember that's when Reagan won his landslide, Minnesota's the only state that voted for the Democrat candidate that year. Yeah. That was it.
And it's been left for the longest
of times, and I still don't understand exactly why. That'd be a little embarrassing.
Yeah,
that would.
Yeah. That's my governor. Love that guy. He wishes death upon the president of the United States and cheers against America. I mean, that's what he's saying, basically.
They are cheering against, and so is Pritzker, for that matter. I mean, absolutely out there lobbying for 600 people a year to die. That's effectively what he's doing. They've become the party of defending death and wishing death on the president of the United States. How sad. All right, stay tuned. We'll get to Dan's segment coming up here in just a minute.
But don't give a f***.
Oh, yeah, it's the segment of the show where we let the social media conservative voices scream out, where mainstream media normally doesn't let these people out of their cage. They want them to get no publicity.
Yeah.
And what I've decided to do with the Buck Don't Give a Bleep segment is break it up every day into like a different theme. We'll have Minority Mondays. We'll have Truth Bomb Tuesdays. We'll have Warrior Women Wednesdays, Thankful Thursdays, and Freedom Fighter Fridays. So, and we've featured singers. We've done poetry. We've had a lot of great African-American voices on here talking about conservative values. Well, today, on our very first Warrior Women Wednesday, you actually probably remember this social media conservative voice. She's been on Newsmax, also now has a new daily podcast that's growing in popularity on Instagram, just shy of about 70,000 followers. She's also my former colleague on Show Me St. Louis. As we celebrate 30 years of that show, she was part of the team that launched the show in 1995, 30 years ago. She was a lighthearted, very funny reporter. Wendy Bell was her name. But today, she is a warrior for conservative values. She has been going boldly after Big Pharma in recent weeks, and she shares in her podcast a lot of personal stories as they relate to her five kids, including her twin boys. She's passionate. She gets fired up on the topic of forced vaccinations in schools. Here's Wendy, a very strong conservative voice, this week's warrior woman, Wendy Bell. Hit it, Ethan.
You can't go anywhere in college, ladies and gentlemen. You can't go beyond an education if you haven't proven that you are vaccinated against meningitis. She hands me, the nurse does, hands me a rundown of each of the boys' vaccinations so far. And I looked on the page, and in 2012, No. When they were 12, I should say. Both of my boys got the Gardasil HPV shot. They got two of them. And I looked down at the sheet. It was 2020. I looked down at the sheet and I got to be honest with you, I didn't hear anything else in the room. We just played a week ago. We played RFK Jr., Health and Human Services Secretary, talking about what he says is known, that he knew in the trial data that children are 37 times more likely to die from Gardasil than they are to die from cervical cancer, which was the whole gist of this Merck vaccine that rolled out in the early 2000s. And I looked at the nurse, and she looked back at me, and I whispered, Gardasil. And she said, yes, I know. And I said, I didn't. And she said, I didn't either. I did it too. And in that moment, my twin sons have no idea what's going on, as I'm realizing that 5 years ago, they both got a two-shot series of a vaccine that now I'm very concerned about. And the whole rest of the day was a total wash. And I said to the nurse privately afterwards, I said, but the Secretary of Health and Human Services is, because she said, I know. And I said, and you're still using it? And she said, we are. Look, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-science. I'm just so angry that I don't trust anyone anymore. I'm so angry that I don't believe anyone anymore. I'm so disappointed that corporate medicine has gobbled up every physician there is. And they're all under this big umbrella of corporate garbage that compensates them for pushing things on us.
Wow.
And it was 2020, and I didn't know. And I feel so awful. And as I'm sitting there, feeling terrible, looking at my sons.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's living it as a mom, right? And she's now hearing all of this evidence coming out that JFK is unveiling.
RFK.
I mean,
I do the same thing all the time.
But RFK, clearly she's emotional. She's upset about it. And you won't find a more passionate conservative woman ever. I mean, she gets on a lot of other issues day in and day out. But right now she's got big pharma in her sights.
I don't blame her. You feel like somebody's pulled the rug out from under your feet.
Yeah, she wants to
When you
to
find
trust.
Out that you were told this was safe, and then you find out later that they've hidden information from you. And why do you think they all hate RFK Jr. so much?
Yeah.
Why did everybody walk out of the CDC when they fired the one woman who was probably protecting them all?
Yeah.
They're like rats on a sinking ship. They're all scurrying to get off now because the people are starting to find out the truth.
He's ripping down the curtain.
He is.
Yeah. And revealing the ugliness behind it, that Big Pharma has been controlling this narrative, controlling our CDC, controlling our NIH, and basically, you know, telling us what they want us to hear, not what we need to hear. And that's kind of what I think Wendy was alluding to there, is who in the heck can we trust anymore?
Have you kept up with Wendy over the years? Have you stayed in touch with her a little bit?
A little bit, through Facebook. And, you know, she went through a lot. She refused to get the COVID shot, and it cost her job at the CBS affiliate, I believe, in Pittsburgh, where she was working. And, you know, she's married to a doctor, surprisingly.
Oh, is she really? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Married to, they met here in St. Louis while he was going through medical school. And, that's where he did his fellowship, and they stayed there in Pittsburgh.
I wonder what the fallout is for him if he's in a hospital system to have his wife be so vocal against them.
If you'd know Wendy, she really wouldn't care.
Well, I mean, it could affect his livelihood.
Yeah, I bet not. I mean, you can't say because your wife has an opinion.
No, maybe not. I mean, the thing is, though, she just hit the nail squarely on the head, pointing out that they're all part of the system. Have you ever doctor shopped? A few years ago, my doctor unexpectedly passed away. Great guy. Loved Dr. Anstey. He was fantastic. And he got very ill very quickly and he passed. And I found myself having to go shop around and find another doctor. And I ended up switching from, I think it was BJC to maybe Mercy. And I found this guy And it was, you know, this is right as COVID when all this stuff was happening.
Right.
And I went in and sat down with a guy. I'm like, listen, if I get COVID, will you give me hydroxychloroquine? Will you give me ivermectin? And he said, I can't.
I know.
And I'm like, what do you mean you can't? You're a doctor. Write the prescription and let me go to the pharmacy and get it. The system won't allow me to do that. So the healthcare system that he works for, that he draws his salary from, put down an edict that you will not prescribe these medicines. And nowhere in St. Louis County could you get them. I had to go to DeSoto to get the medicine and find a doctor down there. Thank God I did, Dr. Stephen Crawford, who was prescribing that and saving untold numbers of lives by doing so.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I was going the wrong way with COVID and got some ivermectin, and in 24 hours, I completely turned the table on it. And within 48 hours,
huge difference.
Oh my God, instantly. Within one 12-hour period, I could immediately feel myself getting better. It was
Dan. I mean, obviously, you and I have known each other for a long time. I don't know that we talked much through that COVID period, except when I came and interviewed you that time in Clayton about your youth sports experience. But that Dr. Crawford was the medical director of a nursing home down in Jefferson County. And he had a 100% cure rate in people over the age of 80 in a nursing home when he administered that medication the minute their blood blood oxygen level started to drop. And he went to each of their family members and said, I can fix this if you'll let me. The only people that died in that nursing home are the ones that came and told him, CNN told me that's dangerous. I don't want you to do it. And their loved ones died, and all of the rest of them lived. And I reported on this story first. We broke this story, and not a single journalist in the city of St. Louis had the balls to go down there and interview him and do the story, because I'm sure they were all under pressure not to cover anything positive about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of it.
And the evidence was so mounting.
So mounting. So,
and I mean, not just with him, but with all the frontline doctors.
In D.C.,
globally. Globally, yes. They were seeing remarkable trends with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And it just was being ignored here because of Big Pharma's grip.
Because of the system.
Because they were making millions.
They don't
want
anybody to know this because they see the lawsuits coming down the pike.
Yeah.
And by God, they ought to. There ought to be some hungry attorneys out there ready to sue the pants off of them.
And to Wendy's point in her diatribe today was, it started at the CDC and the NIH, who were all being controlled by who? By Big Pharma.
We ought to see about, is Wendy, is she doing this on the internet? Where's she doing it?
Yeah, the show is on Instagram.
We ought to see about getting her on the show.
She'd love to join us, I'm sure.
We should do that.
Yeah, that'd be good. And we could maybe reminisce about the 30th anniversary of Show Me on Friday.
That's true. Did they call her? Does she still live in, she didn't live in the area, you just said,
still lives in Pittsburgh, yeah.
Okay, so did they bring her in for this at all?
They did a Zoom.
They've
with
Zoomed.
Her. They zoomed with her. All right. She'll be on the show, I'm sure.
Great segment, my friend.
Good.
All right. When we come back, how about this? The governor is recalling all of his police board picks. We're going to talk more about that when we come back.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Well, boom. Imagine, Dan. You're just out for a nice boat ride in the Caribbean, and suddenly you get blown up. Did you see a video yesterday that Trump released? Oh, my God.
I mean, that's going to make every drug trafficker in Venezuela pause.
Of course it will.
It was like obliterated.
Why haven't we done this before?
Well, that would take guts. That would take a pro-American person who truly wants to stop drug trafficking in America.
You know, I am hooked on a book series right now by an author named Daniel Silva. And his character is a you know, just a BA Mossad agent who's out there kicking butt and taking names. And I mean, it's just a great series. But what he refers to constantly, and it's a current series. I'm just catching up on it. He's got a couple of books out in the last couple of years on this series. But what he talks about all the time is the fact that as extensive as their network is to deal with some of these issues, when it comes to surveillance, they always come back to America because the NSA is top of the game. Like, right? So when I was working at Channel 4 years ago, a friend of mine worked for the NGA and invited me down to MC some Bond kickoff luncheon they were having. I don't know what it was. So when I was down there, they took me for a tour. Well, this is down there behind when it was still behind, maybe it is still behind Anheuser-Busch. I know they're getting ready to move. They couldn't take me any further than the lobby because I didn't have a security clearance, right? So I couldn't get any further than the lobby where you walk in. And they walk me into this room and they're like, now, we can't really tell you what we do here, but like hypothetically, here's a video of what, you know, like hypothetically some commercial applications can do in the country. And it was a shot of the globe. And then it was a tighter shot of the world. And then it was a tighter shot of Europe somewhere. Then it was a tighter shot of a bay. And then it was a tighter shot again of a port, clearly. And then a dock. And then a dude standing on a dock. And you could have told his lineage from how close that shot got, right? So they can do anything, right?
Yeah.
And I look at this video yesterday of these dudes in this big boat coming from Venezuela, hauling drugs. You know they've known about this for years, that they've been doing it. Why have we never done this before? Or have we done it and it's just not been publicized?
Well, it's all part of what we're trying to message in that part of the world, too. Make no mistake about it. He's saying, we're putting a stake in the ground. Venezuela, you're going to stop smuggling drugs. You're going to stop sending us your worst of the worst, emptying your jails, emptying your prisons, and sending them to the United States to cause havoc.
Yep.
He's put Venezuela on alert, and the drug lords as well.
Maduro knows it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, those warships are just off his coast going, just blink, we dare you, right? And any drugs coming out that they know are drugs, I'm sure they've got great intel on land too.
I'm waiting for one of the Mexican drug cartels to get blown up. I know that Mexico's president has blustered a lot about what would happen if you dare to attack us within our country and all this, but if they have hard intelligence of a drug
smuggling
delivery
ring, yep,
that's about to come into the United States and they take it out just over the border before it gets there, I dare that president of Mexico to say anything about it.
Yeah.
I dare them. They've got too much at stake, too much to lose. So good for Trump.
Yeah.
But that video is just, I mean, that's like some of the stuff we've seen out of Afghanistan with, you know, convoys being blown up and things.
Well, and just take 1 year of fentanyl deaths in America of our young people who have died. And it's more than all of our foreign wars for the past 30 years. Right. In 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sees it as a war against our youth. He sees it as a war of, this isn't no longer a recreational drug coming into our country. It's a drug that's killing people in vast numbers, more than 100,000 in 2023, and 2024 numbers still aren't in. But they're saying those numbers will probably surpass what died.
And as our friend Kim pointed out on Facebook a few minutes ago, the message is you are not going to use the Gulf of America to deliver drugs to America.
I should have worn my Gulf of America hat. I just got a new hat.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. The governor, I mentioned this earlier. We'll talk more about it in the next hour. But the governor has withdrawn his five candidates for the police board. And I was pretty baffled by that when I first saw it until Dan pointed out the reason that he did it is that he didn't want Democrats using it as an excuse during the special session to try to block action on, you know, IP reform or something like that, because they're upset with the few members that he appointed. So he just took it off the table. And now because the picks have been rescinded, they got nothing to stand up and complain about. Or they can still stand up and complain about it, but they have nothing actionable.
that they can deal with, which completely explains why he did it. It was a very smart move.
Yeah, and they can always be, even though they've been rescinded, he can reinstate them for formal approval later in the actual legislative session that comes up in November. So,
which I suspect that he probably will. Just a reminder, we're going to talk to Senator Adam Schnelting today in the 8 o'clock hour. He was apparently one of the architects who helped put together the framework for what IP reform would look like. In other words, the governor said, I'm not going to do this unless I know that there's already a pretty good idea that the House and the Senate can get together on this, because it got nowhere the last few years. So we should be encouraged by that, I think. But we'll talk to Adam at about 8:22 this morning. Right now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll check in with Ryan Schmelz, the Fox News reporter up in Washington, D.C., on the possibility of the lights getting turned out in D.C. in just a couple of weeks. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.